Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mully Henley.
You guys are ignorant and you're also naive.
On Sports Radio 670, The Score. Chicago's sports station.
It is the unofficial beginning of the second half because really, what are they, 95 games in already, the Chicago Cubs?
Yeah, and they haven't played as many games as most teams. Even though they've scored more runs than anybody else in the National
League.
But
they open tonight against the Cardinals at home. Big series for the Cardinals. Everybody says big series for the Cardinals. I think the Cardinals are done. So.
Yeah, they are done. They're sitting 7.5 back, but they have the Cubs 8 times in these next 2 weeks. So it's an opportunity for them if something crazy were to happen.
See if they get the fired manager bounce. They might. They might get a little something from that. Plus, they hated Matheny so much that it's probably some benefit there to them, at least.
Has Dexter Fowler blocked him on text yet? Mike Schilt. Has he blocked him? The message of the day?
That's one of the most amazing baseball stories of the season, is that a major league player blocked his manager from being able to text him the lineup.
A bad major league player.
Exactly.
Really bad.
Mully and Henley.
Fruitin'.
I'm Ragnar. Pay me.
That's how I roll, buddy.
Start your day with the teams you know.
We're joined by former White Sox manager Ozzie Guillen.
You know what thing about I'm going to call him Monkey. Be careful, guys. The manager call him Monkey, not me.
Mully Henley.
This is all tricky.
Here we go!
Good morning, sports fans here in Chicago and listening around the globe on 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Live from the Hyundai Studios, this is the Mully and Henley Show, minus Mully and Henley from the show. The boys are out today. They'll be back Monday. At least that's the rumor. I am Barry Rosner, and my partner, as is always the case on Sunday mornings on Hit and Run, is Joe Ostrowski. Good morning, Joe.
Morning, Barry. And we will be back this Sunday morning. 9 a.m. is when we hang out if you aren't with us.
9 a.m. sounds much better to me right now than 5 a.m.
Another lifetime.
It appeals to me. I'm not exactly sure why. I know Dustin Rhodes and Kevin Zpac and Ray Diaz and all the people on this show, they love getting up at 2-3 in the morning to get here to go to work. But I am looking forward to getting a little bit of rest after many of these shows. But it's always fun to be here, and here's what we have planned for you today.
Hey, it's Tiger.
Well, no, we don't have Tiger today. Tiger, is he still even par, by the way, Joe? Brooks,
he is one over.
Brooks Koepka has fought back to even par. Quite the comeback for Brooks Koepka. That's why we tell you, Kevin Zpac, look at the live odds. Might get a nice price on a big name.
I got him at 90 yesterday.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, Tiger bogeyed the second hole, so he's one over.
Conditions a little better today, a little softer. There's been some rain this morning, not quite as baked out, not as dusty, not as dry. The guys are getting some opportunities. We'll see how that plays out today. Here's what we have planned for you. At 5:20, it's 5 at 5, as we do every day on the show. At 6 o'clock, Mark Canizzaro from the New York Post will be live from the Open Championship. Get us caught up on what's happening at Carnoustie. There's one really good story, a really strange story. And that's what occurred with Johnny Vegas over the last 4 or 5 days. And I believe Mark wrote about it. I'll check on that. But I know he knows the story. He did write about that. And we'll talk to him about that. You're going to want to hear this story. But Johnny Vegas at the Open Championship, no easy task for him. At 6:40, it's our weekly visit with Peter Gammons. At 7 o'clock, Gordon Wittenmeyer covers the Cubs for the Sun-Times. We'll be here. Talk some baseball with us. 7:40, we get a national hit from Ian Rappaport, national insider from the NFL Network. We'll talk some Bears, talk some NFL. At 8 o'clock, Brad Biggs from the Tribune is here to talk about the stirring first day of Chicago Bears camp. Sorry, I make fun. It's just there's obviously a lot to deal with the Bears. There's a lot to talk about with the Bears. It's just that
Ryan Pace said nothing.
In the week leading up to it, there's just not a lot to talk about because we've done it so many times already. But Now there is there will be over the next few days much to deal with. Yeah, Pace didn't say much, did he? I mean, is that
no?
He's fired.
No, that's not a surprise. Well,
he's fired up.
So now he's going to come back at the end of the regular season. Is that the next time we're going to hear from him?
He does tend to disappear. Although if like things
maybe once before the regular season,
if things are good, things are really good,
might see him.
You might see more.
Okay, so we will not see Ryan Pace. I'd assume for we didn't even get him in the bye week last year.
No,
that's
I would describe it as fluid.
It's the NFL now.
I appreciate, though, that over the course of the summer, he has not forgotten the names of the reporters, which is good because he can address each and every one by name at the press conference.
Moon was addressed even by Matt Nagy yesterday.
Wow.
Oh, he's learning.
Smart
too.
Move. That's just good. That's good public relations is what that is. Learn the names of your reporters, make them feel like they matter, and who knows?
I think they're the enemy of the people. I wouldn't learn any of their names personally.
Yeah, I think the fans going down to Bourbonnais, the word is that they have better seats than the media.
True. They're also allowed to tweet from practice.
So, Keen, if you go and sit with the fans, you would still get in trouble if you're tweeting from the fan area?
Yeah, they'll just pull your credential.
Wow.
And, you know, pull your leg. This is the NFL. I got news for you. This is the NFL.
They don't need you.
Not only do they not want us... they don't need us,
nope.
And they truly would prefer. I mean, I'm not kidding about this. They'd just as soon have you not show up because you don't serve them any purpose. They got their TV money. They got their revenue sharing. You are only a nuisance, and they make it very clear from the minute you get to the stadium to the minute you leave that you are a nuisance, and you do not need to be there. So honestly, if you just prefer not to show up, we're good with that. And they encourage you with through their behavior to just simply not show up. And now this this not being allowed to tweet from practice, I mean, that's insanity.
Well, that's that's regular practice now. That's throughout the league. Everybody's just following suit.
It's incredible. So you, Joe, you're not credentialed to cover the Bears.
No.
Correct?
No.
So you could go
not
to
a reporter.
You could go to Bourbonnais, sit in the stands and tweet whatever you want.
Tweet video?
Tweet video. Yes, you could.
I bet you they would go to Mitch.
Yeah, they would.
Yeah.
They would. Get a burner account.
But nobody's following that.
Well, we could get some people to retweet
okay.
that, couldn't we?
Yes, sure.
There's ways around that. Kevin Zipak's nodding his head. Are you, you have some thoughts, Kevin? Is that going to work?
Oh, yeah. I'm all about underhanded schemes and bucking the system.
There's no way in hell I'm going to Bourbonnais, just so you know. So this is a big waste of time. Are you kidding me?
Steak and shake.
Just a programming note. We are going to Bourbonnais. We will be there. I will be there with Mully and Hanley.
Just Monday?
Well, this week, yeah.
Mm-hmm. How many days next week?
Just one.
Just Monday?
They have done, you know, I will give the guys a ton of credit. We, as a show... would work very hard at Bourbonnais. So we would get a interview or three off the field immediately after a practice. Then we would go hang out outside the lunch hall, and we would get anywhere from like 5 to 8 more interviews as players went in and out of the lunchroom. Can't do that anymore.
Right.
Completely squashed.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's to your point, Barry, about them not needing us or wanting us. I mean, that's like a service to the fans and the listeners. Mully and Hanley did not need to do that. They didn't need to stand around. I mean, literally, we were standing around for 3 or 4 hours after the practice.
Yeah.
Did the show, watched the practice, went to the practice. Off the field, taped 2 or 3 interviews. Then hung around until they were all... had all gone in and out of lunch until nobody was left and got home 5-6 o'clock. Now, we had like a week's worth of interviews to play back for the fans to preview the upcoming season, but now the Bears have put the complete kibosh on
it. Well, what you're doing is providing a service for the fans.
Right.
Through all that hard work, you are providing opportunities
for the fans. Why would they not want that for the fans?
Because they don't care about the fans either.
They don't, Dustin.
They don't.
You think
they do?
No. I'm not saying they do. It's a shame.
No, but I mean,
that's a shame.
Yeah, no,
true.
I'm just telling you the truth. They don't need you in the stadium as a fan. They don't need you in the stadium as media.
Once the season starts, we're not even going to hear from any assistant coaches. This is just... It's the NFL.
Well, that's another new, but that who created that? That's like a Bill Belichick thing, right? Didn't Belichick create that nonsense?
State secrets.
Years ago, I mean, you would hear the offense and defensive coordinator would have weekly segments on the Score years ago.
Absolutely.
And then once Lovey came, that stopped.
When I was, I'm trying to remember if 88 was my first camp in Platteville, but the day, I don't know if it was the first year I was there, but the day Willie Gault, and I was filling in that week for our beat guy, because Ditka was getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. I believe that was the week. Willie Gault trade becomes official, and I walk into the lunchroom, and I can sit down with anybody I want to sit down with. Dan Hampton, Steve McMichael, Mark Bortz. I remember talking to Mark Bortz. Wendell Davis, who I believe was a rookie wide receiver.
Wasn't that the case not too long ago? And now you can't, as Dustin mentioned, you can't even come close.
Well, now you can. You can order your boxed lunch that is provided by the team. You can order a boxed lunch, but then you need to like go get it and beat it. Like you can't sit down and have lunch and do that kind of. It's get it and get out.
Dustin, no joke. I'm sitting at a table with Dan Hampton discussing the Willie Gault demanding a trade because he wanted a new contract. And Dan Hampton just ripping Willie Gault.
I was going to say, could you repeat some of the things? You got that notebook still, Barry? Could you read us some quotes out of that notebook?
I can tell you it was not flattering. It was not flattering to Willie Gault. But, you know, that's pretty amazing when you think about it, like that you could go from that sort of access where it was completely normal in an NFL camp to have that sort of thing. I mean, and you stayed in the dorms where players and coaches and management stayed. And
now that's done too.
And if you needed somebody, I remember, I don't think that I found him that night, but I remember going to try to find Bill Tobin when it was the night before, when it looked like that trade was going down. And I mean, I'm knocking on doors. I'm knocking on Bill Tobin's door. He wasn't there, but as was the case in a lot of sports, and it doesn't exist anymore, there was just kind of I wouldn't even call it a mutual respect, but there was a tolerance and an understanding of someone else had a job to do. And it really, I mean, it just wasn't a big deal. Guys in there eating lunch, if you needed them and you were polite and you said, hey, can I get you for 2 minutes? Some might say, let's wait until after I'm done eating, or sure, sit down.
But some sports, it's still that way. It'd be baseball, you have access every single day.
It's not.
I know it's not the same. But during the season, once the season gets going, okay, you have your post game, and what do you have, an hour during the week? Once a week? Where they have open locker room and people aren't even hanging out in the locker room anyways.
NFL. I mean, it's definitely a different world. Kevin, do we have to get to a break?
Eventually.
All right.
It's Friday. I'm a little bit looser with the clock.
Thank you. Appreciate.
Well, we should, though, because you do like golf as much or more than anybody on this station, and we do have an interview with Mark Candizero at 6, which means we need to get through the 5 at 5 quickly, so we should break.
Well, we could just be better with... with our 5 at 5.
Be better in general.
Judicious with our answers at 5. We're not going to be better in general. Here's the thing, Joe, about covering baseball is when I was a beat guy, I could walk into the manager's office and sit there for as long as I wanted to at any time, right. And usually alone, and especially on the road, if I got to the ballpark at 1 or 2 in the afternoon, I had as much time with the manager as I wanted. And when you walked into a clubhouse before or after a game, there were 20 of the 25 guys sitting in front of their lockers. The only guys who weren't might have been actually in the trainer's room for a legitimate reason. But when you walked in, there was Sandberg and Dawson and Maddox and Sutcliffe and Osemacher and Bielecki and Grace and Dunston. Hall of Famers all over the place, professionals all over the place. They understood their job was to be there. And especially if they were part of the story, good or bad, they were there. And every day. And now you walk in after a game, and there's nobody in there.
Ghost town, yeah.
There's nobody in there. Even if it was, even on a good day, there's a couple guys, and you're gonna, if you really want somebody, you're gonna wait a really long time. And if you got deadline problems, it's just, you know, the world has changed. That's the way it is. I accept that. But to be a part of,
people think this is media complaining. By the way, it's about access for you guys.
I don't mean to complain. I'm just telling you the way it is.
Right.
And the truth is, the beat guys' access, you know that. Like, I used to try to break a story every single day. That was my intention every single day. I just don't think that that's available to guys because there's no access. I mean, you're sitting in a room with 30 other people when you get the manager, and when players come out, there's going to be a lot of – I mean, there's only a couple players in the room, so you're not going to get players alone. Plus, time is restricted much more than it used to be. So for you, the fan, you're not getting the kind of access that you used to get either. At 8 o'clock, Brad Biggs, as I said, will be here from the Tribune. At 8:30, White Sox top pick Nick Madrigal will give us a few minutes of his time. And at 8:40, NIU Athletic Director Sean Frazier jumps on for just a couple of minutes to talk about the crazy NIU football schedule this year. Our executive producer is the legend himself, Dustin Rhodes. Kevin Zipak sits next to him and annoys Dustin and takes shots at us. I'm not really, it's not clear to me what else he does. Would you say that's an accurate job description?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay. Especially the part about annoying Dustin.
Yeah, Ray Diaz sits correct. Way back there in the back. I don't know what Ray does, but he's a nice guy. And so that's different around here. I am at Barry Rosner on Twitter. Joe is at Joe0670. The Mully and Hanley account is Mully Hanley, appropriately enough. The phone number is 312-644-6767. You can also join in at 67011 via the text zone on the score. If you text us, you'll get a text back acknowledging your text. Standard message and data rates may apply. All right, when we come back, it's 5 at 5. Top of the hour, Mark Canizero of the New York Post will talk some Open Championship with him on the Mully and Hanley Show on the Score.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
This segment of the show is brought to you by Spot Hero. And finally, here's a way you can save time parking. Use Spot Hero anytime you park. First time user, enter that promo code SMART for $10 off. Spot Hero, park smarter.
It's 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley, where we debate the top 5 sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Hanley. 5 at 5 with Mully and Hanley starts now.
How did you like the Cubs' approach offensively last night?
Sorry, Kevin, you want to read that again? Because even though I have it right here in front of me.
Yeah, the audience heard it.
I didn't hear it, but I didn't hear it. All right, you don't have to read it again. I liked the Cubs' approach a lot last night. I liked their two-strike approach going the other way. I liked, in general, hitting the ball where it's pitched. The boys are listening to Joe Maddon. Even Chris Bryant, Mr. Launch Angle himself, was looking the other way over and over and over again. The guys are listening to Joe Maddon, and they're going to need to. I like what they did last night. I like that they're spraying the ball around. Obviously, home runs are good, and they're going to continue to try to hit home runs when appropriate. But Joe is preaching, use the entire field.
And he loves wine.
Yeah, that's true. And he put the hit and run on last night, which, you know, is that's against baseball religion these days, is to put on the hit and run.
Yeah, no stolen bases.
That worked nicely for the Cubs last night. I thought that part of it was pleasant. There were some parts that weren't so. I was talking to Dustin Rhodes about that before the show. We'll get into that. But yeah, I liked it. I thought it was a fine continuation of what Joe Maddon wanted them to do over the last 2 months of the first half, and I thought it was an appropriate start to the second half.
Yeah, since we're just talking about the offense, you have to like what you saw there, since we're not talking about the starting pitching or the defense. But the approach, certainly you have to be pleased. Only 5 strikeouts in the game. Nobody struck out multiple times. And you question it, even though it's worked out of late. You question it when you see Anthony Rizzo to start the unofficial second half in the leadoff spot once again. But you know what you're going to get out of Anthony Rizzo, especially with 2 strikes. You're going to get a good approach. And Zobrist in the cleanup spot, because you have Rizzo and Bryant 1-2, you know you're going to get a good approach there. So, and it was there throughout the lineup.
Joe seems to know when to back off of that and get him back into the proper spot in the lineup.
To move
right?
him back down
yeah.
the line. Yeah.
Like last year when he did that, he seemed to get a seems to have a really good feel for when it's time to put him back where he belongs and say, this worked. This is what we wanted. We got him back on track. Now let's get him back in the proper spot in the order.
He's as good as anyone in regular season. You're right. We talk about it all the time on Hit and Run. He's as good as anyone. And some people wonder, what is it with the Cubs? I know they're really good, but what is it? Why are they always just going, it seems like 50 and 25 every single year in the second half? Three straight years now, off to a nice start last night. It's Madden. It is. We have our complaints. Why is this guy not playing enough? Why is Almora sitting? Why is he moving things around?
Yeah, you know,
if he has buys at second base, maybe that play in the first inning is made at second base when it went off Zobrist's glove. But he knows. I think it's a lot about rest, and the Cubs seem to be ahead of the curve there. But as far as the approach, you have to be pleased with what you saw. Maybe you're worried about Jason Hayward. Oh, in the three spot, they're pushing it. They're pushing it. He has three more hits.
Yeah.
It hasn't stopped yet.
We don't live in a black and white world, much as the hot take community would like us to live in a black and white world. We don't. So it is okay to criticize Joe Maddon for the things he doesn't do well, and it is okay to praise him for the things that he does do well. And there are many. Kevin Zbeck shaking
his head. I disagree vehemently. I think that everything is 100% of what it is, and there's no gray area whatsoever.
Feigned outrage. Hot takes.
I don't feign anything. I'm always outraged. As far as the Cubs go last night, I mean, yeah, the approach was good. Scored 9 runs, 13 hits. Everybody had a hit, I think, except for Schwarber. And that's kind of more of the same. Joe, you mentioned yesterday they scored more runs than anybody in the National League. The run differential is kind of getting back to that level, which makes Cub fans salivate a little bit. And yeah, Tony Rizzo out of the leadoff spot. We laugh sometimes when Joe will move a guy up there when he's struggling to try to get him going a little bit. But more often than not, the guy who he puts up there does end up getting a hit or a couple hits in the case of last night specifically. So offensively fine. There are issues swirling around this team momentarily.
When you have everybody contributing, when it's not the guys you expect to be contributing, that's an A-plus for your approach. I mean, you give Baez the day off, Ben Zobrist drives in a pair of runs. Contreras gets the day off, Victor Caratini gets 4 at-bats, reaches on all 4. And
yeah,
as you guys,
Caratini should be playing every day. He's great.
That's right.
You guys are stupid.
Rizzo, you guys already mentioned in the leadoff spot. I mean, it's working for him. He was struggling before the break, and you know, as Kevin just mentioned, as much as Madden likes to use that leadoff spot for guys who are struggling offensively, it's working for Rizzo this time. It doesn't always work, but it's working for Rizzo. So I give the approach, especially because, hey, you come out of the break, you went in first place in the break, and you come out of the break with a win. I'll give it an A.
Yeah, I like the approach last night to stick to the answering the question right this second. Also, this stat that bothered me a lot in the first half of the season, despite the fact that the Cubs led in almost every offensive category. So last night, with runners in scoring position, the Cubs 8-for-21. You do that, you're going to win a lot of baseball games, right? That's a stat that you can't ignore.
21 opportunities, yeah.
So that's awfully good. So that's a good approach.
And I'm happy you're asking these questions.
Are you concerned about Kyle Hendricks?
I'm concerned about a number two starter. The Cubs don't have one. Once you start to feel good about Kyle Hendricks, he labored last night. It could have been a lot worse, and he could have exited a lot earlier. 113 pitches, and he was unable to get out of that fifth inning. And the woes in the first inning continue again last night. It's not so much a Hendricks concern, it's a number two starter concern. Everything is pushing towards the playoffs. I expect the Cubs to take over and run away with the Central Division. I think a lot of us do, and even though the Brewers will make some sort of a move, I don't think there's a monster move for them to make as far as adding a starting pitcher. But the thing is, for the Cubs to represent the National League in the World Series, to get through there, they're going to need a number two starter. Hendricks is the best candidate to take that spot. And right now, I don't know. After talking to Jim Hickey yesterday, it sounds like Darvish is going to miss another month, which would make it three consecutive months for this DL stint. You're going to have to walk into this trade deadline in less than 2 weeks now and expect nothing from you, Darvish. That's where we're at right now. And for me, it isn't just a Hendricks concern. It's a number two starter concern. I don't know if Quintana can step up, if he has that ability to pitch to that level that they're going to need from him. But yeah, I am worried about Hendricks because he's the most likely guy to step up. And right now, they don't have one.
Yeah, I understand why you frame it the way that you do, Joe, because when you think back to 2016, you think back to Cy Young-worthy Kyle Hendricks, and that guy would be awfully nice to have right now. And two starts ago, you got that Kyle Hendricks. Two starts ago, he was really good, and you thought, okay, here we go. But then his last start before this one, not good. Not good. 52 pitches through two innings, fought through the rest of it, and managed to get through five last night. He tried to do the same thing, but it looked very much the same. Yeah, it's a concern. I mean, you finally got him to the point where he has that one really good start, and that was vintage Kyle Hendricks, right? You go, okay, here we go. Kyle Hendricks is back. And clearly he's not, because now the last two, you know, pretty much the same as what you've seen. So over his last eight starts, Cubs are 3-5 in those games. He's 2-4. He's got an ERA of 5.06. The whip is not pretty. The strikeouts to walks not pretty. He's not even averaging five. He's just a little over five innings a start. Did not make five last night. Yeah, this is a problem. But again, and I think we've covered this over the last week or so. The cavalry's not coming. There's no great answers out there. So Kyle Hendricks got to do it, or Jose Quintana's got to do it, or Yu Darvish got to do it, Scottie Pippen got a blazer, Horace Grant got a blazer. Somebody got to do it, and
We got to it yesterday, and Theo's mentioned it multiple times. Their best options are on the roster, and it's a matter of who's going to step up.
I think if you are a Cub fan and you've been watching Kyle Hendricks this year, he doesn't look like Kyle Hendricks that we're used to seeing. He's on pace to shatter his walks in a season. He's never walked more than 44 guys in a year. Already got 32 free passes issued this season. He's going to eclipse that on this pace. ERA is not that great. The FIP is very worrisome, but can take a little solace in the fact that traditionally over the past few seasons, Kyle Hendricks has been better in the second half of the season. He has a 2.73 post All-Star break ERA since coming over to the Cubs, and 2.19 after the break last year, 2016, 1.68. So maybe he can find his rhythm. We always talk about Joe Maddon being kind of a second-half manager. His teams excel in the second half of the season. Kyle Hendricks is like the poster boy for that. He's fantastic in late July into August and September. So the track record is there, obviously, that he can turn it around, but what you've seen from him this year, you know, Joe, you're right. This is supposed to be your guy you throw out there game two, game three of a playoff series. At this point, though, with what he's done this season, I think there is some concern, but a little bit of optimism given his resume.
I mean, yeah, I'm absolutely concerned as well, because prior to this season, when you looked at this starting rotation, I mean, you could look at Kyle Hendricks based on the past two seasons and know right behind John Lester he was going to be there consistently and be solid and give you solid outings, and it just has not been the case. You know, yesterday Jim Hickey said it was an issue of mechanics and that the issue had been worked out and that he expected a great second half. But yesterday was far from a great outing from Kyle Hendricks to start the second half. I mean, it was the shortest outing of his career, and it's absolutely a concern because, as Joe brought up, who is your number two? Hell, who's your number three? This whole starting rotation is an issue, as Joe brought up, and yeah, I'm concerned just because of how reliable Hendricks has been, and as Kevin mentioned, hopefully it holds true. The second half will be better, and it was just a bad outing for Hendricks to start things off.
Well, if you're not concerned about Kyle Hendricks and you're not paying attention to what's been going on with the Cubs this year, I know he doesn't show a ton of emotion. That's one of his things, right? He doesn't seem into it, and maybe they can get him. Supposedly, last year, right, Barry, at the end of last year, they said that Bazio leaving was going to affect one guy the most, and that was Kyle Hendricks. And maybe somehow, some way, they can get a little reunion with the two of those guys, not in front of our eyes, but maybe they can have him talk to him, because they had a thing. They were clicking. Well, there he is. That's what concerns me. I think Joe Ostrowski made an awesome point, and it's right now is who is the Cubs' number two starter? Who is that guy right now? This is a team that's going to the postseason unless the wheels completely fall off. Who is the number two guy on this team? Who is winning games in the postseason for the Cubs?
That's interesting about Bazio, because we talked about it. You found that note on Hendricks before the season.
Yeah, there was an article on MLB.com, maybe about the beginning of March, where Hendricks was discussing who he works with, really, there. And it was Tommy Hotovy and Mike Borzello. There was no mention of Jim Hickey at all, which I found to be pretty interesting. Jim Hickey's really good at what he does, but as is the case with hitting coaches, sometimes pitching coaches develop a chemistry with a particular guy. Sometimes they don't find it with another guy. And I am not suggesting that he has been unable or will be unable to find it with Hendricks. Hendricks wasn't Kyle Hendricks last year either. So I don't dismiss that out of hand, Dustin.
Texter brings up a point about Contreras and his pitch framing. Contreras is a fantastic player, fantastic defensive catcher, but his pitch framing leaves a lot to be desired. Is that having an effect on this pitching staff, because it is so below league average? Do you think that there's some correlation there?
And I wouldn't be surprised, and it's also why Madden tries to get Caratini with Hendricks when Caratini's here. I don't know where to place the blame. I mean, I think it's a simple mechanical fix, because you look how good he was two starts ago.
Hickey mentioned that yesterday too.
Yeah.
Great question. It really had me thinking, man. A little too early to think. Thank you, but get my brain working for the day.
Sorry, did I cut you off there?
I don't even know what I was saying. That's 5:40.
It's
Friday. It's Friday.
And we got a 6 a.m. guest. So
I woke up with a fire axe in the back of my head, and I didn't even drink last night. You know, the fire axe in the back of the head is strictly like a half a bottle of scotch kind of thing, and just woke up with it. I told Dustin, I may hurl during the show. I may not survive the process, but we're going to...
Well, you've been filling in for, what, a week and a half now?
Yeah.
Yeah, try doing it for like 6 years.
Yeah, like I was telling Joe how I felt this morning, and he said, honestly, with all the things I'm feeling today, I might have some kind of flu. He said, no, it's just the morning show. That's all.
Yep.
That's all.
Pretty much.
That's all it is.
I think it's way too early to answer that question.
Are you concerned about the Cubs' bullpen?
Well, they made their first addition last night in Jesse Chavez, but as I think I forecast a couple days ago, Brandon Morrow back to the DL, not surprising, not because I knew there was something wrong, but it's just inevitable. A guy who's been abused over the last few years the way he has, it's just kind of inevitable. Biceps inflammation, that the term, not biceps
That's
tendonitis.
That's what they're calling it, yeah.
Okay, you know. We'll see. We'll see if 10 days is enough for him. But yes, I'm concerned about the bullpen just because of the wear and tear. The bullpen has been extraordinary. Bless their hearts. They have done all that they can. But you see last night, again, what, six guys used last night?
Yes.
Quick to the hook last night.
A lot of names you didn't know at the start of the season.
Also true. Joe mentions the Iowa shuttle all the time because it's been all the time. And they've done a nice job. Most of the guys they've brought in have done a nice job. But yeah, I'm concerned that the wear and tear once you get to September and October is going to have an effect. And so I think they'll continue to add. I think they'll add one more guy, maybe even two. Be interesting to see how big a name they add as they move forward.
Hmm. And every day there's another name taken off the trade market here.
Which means, Joe, right, what happens to the names that are left on the market? Price goes up.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, and every team, we know, last few years, every team involved, what are they doing? Looking for bullpens last couple weeks of the trade deadline.
Who didn't want Brad Hand?
Yeah,
I mean, every team in
every
contention.
Team was in.
Who doesn't want Zach Britton? Every team in contention. But as the names go off the market, Zach Britton just becomes more
expensive. Those relievers end up being more valuable than guys like Jose Abreu and Avi Sal-Garcia right now. They have the Cubs bullpen has a 3.10 ERA, second best in the National League. They have multiple names. Joe has multiple names that he can depend on, and that can change throughout a season. We've seen it change throughout a playoff series for Joe, between C-Shack and Strope and C.J. Edwards when he's healthy, and Brandon Morrow when he's healthy. There's a cloud of names. So that makes you feel good. And then the number of guys that have come in, like I mentioned, you didn't know who they were. That have just been fantastic. Anthony Bass again last night. Randy Rosario, we're wondering how long this can continue. Can you bank on him as a lefty out of the bullpen once you get to the postseason? But I am concerned about the bullpen. Do you know every other team in the mix is going to stock up? They're going to add as many arms as they can, and they go to this pen a lot out of necessity because every few days it feels like Cubs starters can't go five innings. They're definitely not going six, most of them.
No.
That's a treat.
No, five innings.
You get a quality start out of a Cubs starter, wow, that was a great start last night. But I am concerned because for the second time, the most important piece in that bullpen goes on the DL, and this time it's another ailment. It's not pulling his pants down. It's the biceps.
Wait, what?
Due to velocity. That's what Morrow said. When he pulled his pants down, he hurt his lower back last time. So, you not recall?
No, I do. I didn't know it was phrased quite in that fashion.
What he said?
I believe he was removing his clothes.
Taking my pants off.
And taking his pants. Now pulling his pants down.
What's the sounds thing? What are you splitting hairs here?
That sounds very different to me.
No, it's the same.
Pulling it's a euphemism.
Pants on the ground.
All right.
So, yes, I am worried about the Cubs bullpen.
Yeah, you never want to hear, you know, biceps inflammation when you're talking about your closer and you're talking about one of the best relievers in the National League. Brandon Morrow, his injury issues have been well documented throughout his career. Let's say best case scenario, he comes back in 10 days, he's fine. Best case scenario, I don't anticipate that happening, but let's be optimistic here if that's what I offer to the program, optimism. If he comes back...
Well, you're the optimism guy.
Well, somebody has to be.
You're the OG.
Ray is constantly pounding us with his negative attitude.
Yeah.
I can't stand it.
He hates meat.
You're the OG. Optimism guy.
Appreciate that. Thank you, Barry.
Will you guys... we'll be gone. Well, I'll be gone. Will you guys continue to call Kevin the OG? Can you do that?
No.
I already have been.
Okay. Ray's been doing it for a while.
Why do you hate Ray, anyway?
He's a cancer on the program.
Yeah, he's the problem. He's the bad guy.
All right, let's say best case scenario, Brandon Morrow comes back and the Cubs are in the playoffs. And we know the playoffs now, more than ever, are very much a bullpen game. And the Cubs have been a bullpen team this year. You guys brought up that the starters aren't going deep in the games, and you're using these guys a lot. If we hark back to last year's playoffs, Brandon Morrow was great in the first round. He was great in the second round. World Series, he was pretty gosh darn awful. He got lit up a little.
He pitched every day!
He pitched 14 games in the playoffs last year. Has he even pitched 14 games this year? They use him so sparingly. They're so safe, and they're using such, you know, kid gloves with Brandon Morrow to try to avoid injuries, and he's still getting hurt. So, yes, that along with the wear and tear and all of the innings already on these guys' respective shoulders, I think that... It is something that they're going to have to address via trade. I don't think Jesse Chavez is the answer. It's another guy to eat up innings for you in the bullpen. But I think, you know, when we get to September, October, this might start catching up with them a little bit. This is not sustainable.
Absolutely not sustainable. That's why it's a concern for me as well. As we sit on July 20th, it's a concern. And the bullpen has been a concern since you've seen how this starting rotation has been shaping up. Inconsistent, not able to go deep in games, and then you end up relying on your bullpen. And then what happens is, Barry mentioned, the wear and the tear. That's the big issue, and it's really, you know, been reflected in guys going to the DL. Brian Dunsing, who finally returned from the DL, he was great at the beginning of the season, but you know, when you lean as heavily as you do on the bullpen, guys are going to get worn out. Guys are going to get hurt. CJ Edwards, same thing. Brandon Morrow to the DL again. That's twice. So it's absolutely a concern, and we'll see how the Cubs continue to add to the bullpen, because when you get to the playoffs, it's a game of pitching chess, as everybody knows. So we'll see what they do.
Taking my pants off.
Best record in the National League. 18 games over 500, a season high, and I'm as worried today as I was after Game 5. I'm always worried about everything with the Cubs. So the bullpen, the starting pitching, not with last night's approach, but overall, yes, I'm always concerned at what's going on with the Cubs.
Ask a stupid question.
White Sox pitching coach Don Cooper is preaching patience. Where is your patience meter for the White Sox?
If I'm going 1 to 10, 10 being the most amount of patience, I'm at a 10. I'm not really overly concerned about anybody here. Now, I think much of the concern is about the prospects. Everybody's been hurt. Everybody. There's been a lot of bad luck here. I think many of us at this point in the season expected Michael Kopech to be up, expected Eloy Jimenez to be up. It doesn't always work out like that, and in the end, it might end up being a positive thing. Now, the guys at the major league level, Yoan Moncada, he's gone through his struggles, especially defensively, and with the number of strikeouts. Lopez, I think he's been a pleasant surprise overall, a little bit ups and downs, but more ups and downs. And Lucas Giolito, I'm not saying he's turned the corner, but this is what 2018 is all about. It is. It's about development. This is what it's going to look like. Now, overall, I think the dream scenario for Sox fans was about 2020. If you're realistic, you need to push that back. And if you're expecting big moves in free agency, time to strike, this next offseason, I think you're early on that one.
Taking my pants off.
I'm not expecting that to happen. So I'm very patient. And if you were thinking 4 years, I would say you should lean toward 5 or 6. I've heard development and progress is not linear.
That is correct, Joe Ostrowski.
That's I coined that phrase.
That you did?
Yeah.
You did.
People forget that.
He gave it to Theo.
Theo and I text.
You have some sort of, you have something proprietary there? Is that...
No.
Okay. You know, I try to think of it from a White Sox fan's perspective because, I mean, I take a very clinical approach to it. And while the injuries are unsettling and it's been a difficult year from that standpoint, kind of crazy because it's just one after another, it doesn't seem to end when it comes to these injuries for these prospects. But I think try to think of it from a White Sox fan's perspective. And I can imagine that it's a little bit scary because of the injuries. But I think for the most part, White Sox fans are being patient and do understand the program and are happy with the way that it's going. And it's just the nature of young players in baseball that you're going to have a lot of ups and downs. But I do believe... I watched some of Kopech last night, by the way. That game was televised. And... I don't know, maybe it's the third or fourth time I've seen him this year. His stuff is electric.
Pretty good, isn't he?
It's, yeah. You know, I mean, look, there's learning to be done there, Kevin. But his stuff is superb. I mean, you don't teach that. You don't get to teach that. You don't get to teach 98, 99, 100. You don't get to teach that. Well, I suppose
everybody
you could,
has that now.
I suppose you could teach filthy. Yeah, but I mean, you know, you can't teach speed, right? Remember that you were told that as a kid.
When
you were told you were slow, you can't teach speed. You can't. I'll tell you his breaking stuff is just hellacious. There's a lot of ability there. So I mean, I if I were a White Sox fan, I would say there's an awful lot of talent here. It's unsettling that they're hurt, but my patience level is very high.
I would agree. I'm being very patient with the rebuild in general. Would I like to see Michael Kopech up here? Absolutely. Would I like to see Eloy Jimenez here? Yes. But I understand why they're not. And, you know, there are, of course, some people in, you know, the dregs of society on social media and whatnot who are clamoring and shouting at the top of their lungs about how terrible this team is.
Isn't that what Twitter's for the dregs to shout and clamor and scream and be hateful?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, that's
is there any other reason for Twitter?
Sliding up in the DMs. But, you know, my patience is a 10.
Ross does that to all the golfers.
I understand, you know, injuries are discouraging, sure. I get that. It's frustrating when you hear as many prospects as are being injured as they are. But, you know, nobody, with the exception of Jake Berger and, you know, Adolfo's having the Tommy John surgery. I mean, there are not long-term injuries, so that is a good sign. That's a good thing. So it's going to happen. It's just unfortunate that it's happened the way that it has. When you get to the major league roster, I know, for instance, Carson Fulmer was a big disappointment. Yoan Moncada has not been as good as you would like him to be, and he's making mistakes. He's making mistakes that a young guy is going to make. This is part of a rebuild. It's not pretty, but this is part of it. This is your team. You got to stick with them and just wait, tough it out. They will get better. Things are going to get better.
Well, they can't get much worse, so yeah, I think things will get better. I agree with that. If it's good enough for Don Cooper, listen, it's good enough for me, I guess. I just would like to see, if I were a fan, I'm not, of the guys over 35th and Shields, I'd like to see a little bit more consistency from those players that you hope are going to be your core when you do actually win. And it's too much of a roller coaster. Really, really good or really, really bad. Really, really good or really, really bad.
Man, you can't be throwing 55 questions at me. Let me answer the first one.
What was the biggest news out of Bears camp for you?
Keem Hicks, Yonan, and Hanley.
Man, you can't be throwing 55 questions at me. Let me answer the first one.
Every week you would get mad at a Hanley question last season.
I love Hakeem Hicks, by the way. Great man.
Hey, Barry almost ran Don Cooper off this show at one point, so, you know.
Did you get a chief?
Yeah, you know, was that really a bad question?
What was the question?
It was about Philip Umber.
Whoa.
It wasn't really that bad question.
Nice blinking try, trying to get me to talk about Philip Umber, Barry.
To a large degree, I don't really give a rat's ass.
Oh, I miss him.
It was Hanley that he actually. It was Hanley that he hung up on. I mean, he didn't like my question about Phil Umber, which I thought was innocuous, frankly. But it was Hanley he hung up on because he asked him about Diane Viciado.
I was pissed off. Viciado.
And that's when he hung up. He asked the pitching coach about Diane Viciado. It's like, what are you?
What did he ask him? I'm assuming he was struggling?
No, I think he wanted him to be called up.
All right, obviously this team is not where you want it to be this season.
You think?
How is there no chief in there?
Remember, we got a guest at 6 o'clock, Barry, right, and it's a golf guest, so you want to pick up the pace here.
How is there no chief in that?
John Banks is a lion's son of a bitch.
Wow.
Chief?
That was a bit. Go ahead. Answer the question.
All right. The biggest news is no one's on the pup list. That's all. That's really all I know about.
At the press conference, Matt Nagy's response to the questions about the defense.
Chief?
Well, yeah, I'll step in those meetings when I can. Vic can do whatever he wants. It just reminds you how important it was to retain Vic Fangio. And it's going to be a different situation for him, too, because I'm sure Fox was involved a little bit in those defensive meetings. And it sounds like Nagy, also the play caller, will be completely hands-off.
Well, I miss Foxy already, but I'm trying to keep an open mind about the new regime here, and this is a little meatball-y for me, but I like that, you know, they're going to callous the team, they're going to hit each other in camp, they're going to be hard, they're going to be aggressive, they're going to injure each other, so nobody's on the pup list yet, But eventually somebody will be, because they're going to just murder each other down in Bourbonnais, and then down. I'll go out at Steak and Shake afterward.
Yeah, the pup list is the pup list has been an issue the past couple of years, so it's refreshing to actually have everyone healthy going into training camp. That is great. For me, the biggest news is Allen Robinson, because yesterday I said that's who I have my eye on, and it's great to see that there has been no setbacks, and this guy is ready to go.
Yeah, I'm with Ray. I love that Allen Robinson's ready to go. He put out a video that I'm going to retweet, a kind of hype video on his offseason, but I'm also with, it's very rare, I'm with my guy to my right over here, Kevin Zipak. I love the idea that the country club atmosphere is over and there's going to be a little Oklahoma drill, a little 3-on-3. Maybe we'll give them water. Maybe we won't. I like that kind of thing. So good for you, Matt Nagy. Now make sure you're not lying to me as a Bears fan.
Chief.
That's it for 5 at 5, the award-winning 5 at 5. Coming up next, Mark Canizzaro from the New York Post live from the Open Championship. It's Mully and Hanley on the Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.